Maybe over this side.
Constitution of the United States.
Constitution of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
The Constitution of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
And to discharge my duties.
And to discharge my duties.
As a councilwoman for the borough of Chester Heights.
As a councilwoman and I'm of the borough of Chester Heights.
With fidelity.
With fidelity.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Congratulations, Councilwoman Anderson.
Thank you.
If you take
Am
your
I
seat.
Allowed?
Yes, please take your seat at council. All right, good evening, everyone. The meeting will come to order. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, good evening, everyone. This is the February 3rd, 2020 Chester Heights regular council meeting. The first agenda item this evening is roll call. Present this evening is Acting Mayor Drew Baum, Solicitor Jerry Montella, Councilwoman Natalie Anderson, Councilwoman Laura Lim, Councilwoman Gina Marie Ellis, Councilman Stephen Kokoza, Councilman Dave Ferkser, and Councilwoman Susan Clark. Absent this evening is Engineer Matt Hootman. Next up is the opportunity for the public to address Council. Please state your name and address for the record. Anyone in the first row? Second row.
Good evening. My name is Martha Driscoll. I live at 4580 Lanai Road. And I just wanted to state that Chester Heights Neighbors Alliance is having their fourth Valley Brook Road cleanup on March 28th. That's a Saturday from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. As you all know, we adopted Valley Brook Road back in 2018. So this will be our fourth cleanup. We've collected over 100 bags of trash, and they never cease to amaze me that more trash shows up within 6 months, but it does. So we'd like to invite council, anyone who'd like to participate, and if you could also possibly disseminate on your Facebook page and share our post that the event is happening, we would greatly appreciate it so that we can get a few more folks, because the more folks we get, the sooner we get done. We usually get done around 11. And I'm sorry, Councilwoman Lim, but we do not go past Bobby Road. I remember we had that conversation a while ago. So, and that's it for me for tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else in the second row?
I have a question. What time does that start and where do you meet?
It's 9 a.m.
Okay.
We meet at Chester Heights Park.
Okay.
And we kind of make two teams and we go in opposite direction and then we come back and meet there.
Great. Okay. Thank you.
The 28th of March. Yes. So, it is, what is it called? The
Chester Ridley Creek Cleanup.
So the Chester Ridley Creek Cleanup is also happening, but that is going to be a week later, and that is on April 4th at 10 a.m., and you meet where?
At the Matson Road Bridge.
At the Matson Road Bridge, and that's to clean up the watershed part near the river. So we're going to have a clean road and a clean river by the end of April.
Okay, thank you. Anybody in the third row? All right, moving forward, we will move to the mayor vacancy interviews. Last week, it was announced that the borough was soliciting resumes and letters of interest from any resident interested in serving as mayor since the untimely death of Mayor Stacy Smith. There were two resumes that were received during the week. One from Councilwoman Ellis and one from Mr. Fred Wood. Councilwoman Ellis has withdrawn her resume from consideration, which leaves Mr. Fred Wood. At that point, sir, would you like to say anything to council?
As you may have looked at my resume, you know my resume. I've been here 25 years on council. And before that, I was I can't even remember how many years, but a few years on planning commission. I've been in the borough for most of my 70-year years. I live here on Wawa Road. I work for Wawa Incorporated. I currently volunteer about four times a month at the USO down at the Philadelphia Airport, serving active military and their spouses. And I'm back because I was asked if I would, and I said that I would be honored to. And I'm pleased to be standing in front of you today. If you have any questions about me, I'll be around. I am going somewhere for the next couple weeks after I get sworn in here, but I will be back, and I'll make sure the rest of my calendar is clear for the rest of the year.
Okay. Thank you very much. Does council have any questions for Mr. Wood? Okay, with that, is there a nomination to fill the vacancy of Chester Heights Borough Mayor?
I'll make the nomination to fill the vacancy for Chester Heights Borough Mayor with Mr. Fred Wood.
Okay, the nomination has been made. Is there a second?
I'll second.
The nomination has been seconded. The floor is open for discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? The motion is agreed to. The motion carries. Jerry, the resolution, do we need to address that separately at this point?
We can do it at this point.
Okay. All right.
Thank you. So I would ask council to consider the adoption of Resolution 220A. It's a resolution to fill the vacancy of the office of the mayor. And it basically says, now therefore be it resolved by the Council of Borough of Chester Heights, Delaware County, that Fred Wood is hereby appointed to fill the vacancy which currently exists in the office of the mayor for a term consistent with Chapter 9, Section 901 of the Borough Code, approved and resolved this third day of February 2005. I ask the council to consider the adoption of the resolution at this time.
Okay. Is there a motion to adopt the Resolution 2-20A, filling the vacancy of mayor with the appointment of Mr. Fred Wood?
I'll make the motion.
All right, a motion has been made. Is there a second?
I'll second.
The motion has been seconded. The floor is open for discussion. With no discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All those opposed? The motion is agreed to. The motion carries. At this time, the Honorable Judge Diane Holfelder will administer the oath to Mr. Wood.
I think Paula Bell is.
Paula Bell is? All right.
Yep.
So there we go.
Maybe I'll read it while I'm holding it. Burn your hand.
Hold on. Okay. Fred, wait. Fred.
Judge, excuse me. Before the oath is taken, there's an affidavit of residency that Mr. Wood needs to sign and have notarized.
Thank you, Jerry.
And it's an appointment, correct?
Yeah, the affidavit is required by the borough code. It says that it's continuously resided in the borough for more than 1 year.
Usually the residency isn't the issue. It's the filing of the paperwork that's the issue.
I don't have a seal on there.
security won't be able to take office.
There is also a piece of office.
Yes. Okay.
She said she's in
the office.
I don't have my seal on.
This is supposed to be office. She's got to make sure it's signed.
Left hand.
The notary said that she's going to sign it and seal it.
Right.
I did not bring a seal with me.
I watched.
I,
Fred Wood,
do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
Protect, obey, and defend.
Protect, obey, and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
The Constitution of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
And that I will discharge my duties.
Thank you.
I will discharge my duties.
As the mayor of the borough of Chester Heights.
As the mayor of the borough of Chester Heights.
With fidelity.
With fidelity.
Congratulations. Right. I expected you to have
Congratulations, Mr. Mayor, if you'll take your seat.
Fred. All right, everyone, as the borough of Chester Heights now has a sitting mayor, Council President Drew Baum can resume his duties as president of council. So at this point, I turn the remainder of the meeting over to you.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Okay, moving forward on the agenda for tonight's meeting, we have the approval of the minutes of the January 6, 2020 reorganization meeting, the regular council meeting of the same date, and also the January 27th work session meeting. Are there any comments, questions, or concerns with the meeting minutes of the reorganization meeting held on January 6th of this year? With no questions or comments or concerns, do I have a motion to approve the meeting minutes for the 2020 reorganization meeting?
Mr. President, I'll make the motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
Floor is open for discussion. With no discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Motion is approved. Moving forward, we have the meeting minutes for the regular council meeting on January 6, 2020. Are there any comments?
I found a small little typo that I gave to Darlene. Philip Bluff's address was incorrect.
Okay. Are there any other comments or concerns with these minutes? Okay, with that in mind, do I have a motion to approve the meeting minutes of the regular council meeting from January 6, 2020?
So moved.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
The floor is open for discussion. With no discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? The motion is approved. And lastly, we have the work session meeting minutes from January 27th, 2020.
I had asked to have a comment stricken on page 3 with regards to adopting Resolution 1-20. I really didn't think it added anything.
So, Mr. President, I can speak to that.
Okay.
When we were holding the vote for approval of the new council member last week. Councilwoman Clark had said that we did not have discussion. I think that she was speaking to the procedural aspect of it because we did have sufficient discussion prior to the vote. But I think that her issue is more of a procedural one in accordance with Robert's Rules of Order. So if it's just about amending it to be accurate for that, I don't have any issue with it.
Okay. Susan, is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Okay. I was just trying to make sure when we're making a council appointment that we're doing everything the way we're supposed to.
Okay, great. Any further comments, questions, concerns with these minutes? Okay, with that in mind, do I have a motion to approve the work session minutes from January 27th, 2020?
With the one change so noted.
With the one revision.
I'll make the motion.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
All those in favor say aye. I'm sorry, the floor is open for discussion about that very thing that you want revised. With no further discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? The motion is approved. Okay, moving forward, we have up next on the agenda the Secretary Treasurer's report for January 2020. We have receipts in a total of $29,971.45 and expenditures totaling $44,361.84. Are there any questions, comments in regards to the Treasurer's report for January 2020? Okay, with that in mind, do I have a motion to approve the Treasurer's report for January 2020?
So moved.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
The floor is open for discussion. With no discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? The motion is approved. Okay, up on the agenda next, I have committee assignments. The committee assignments are as follows. School District Education Library, Chair Susan Clark, Member Gina Marie Ellis. Finance Committee, Chairperson Steve Kokoza, Members Sue Timmons, Laura Lim. Fire Company Finance Committee, Chairperson Dave Fersker, members Drew Baum, Steve Picoza. Nominating Vacancy Committee, Chairperson Dave Fersker, member Steve Kokoza. Communications Public Relations Committee, Chairperson Gina Marie Ellis, member Laura Lim. Mayor's Event Committee, Chairperson the Mayor, which was appointed tonight, members Gina Marie Ellis, Natalie Anderson, Gina Marie Ellis, which I said twice. Moving forward, Historical Committee, Chairperson Sue Timmons, Member Dave Fersker. Planning Zoning Committee, Chairperson Susan Clark, Member Drew Baum. Engineering Construction Inspections, Chairperson Susan Clark, Member Natalie Adelson. Ordinance Code Review Committee, Chairperson Susan Clark, Member Drew Baum. Public Safety and Environment Committee, Chairperson Drew Baum, Member Dave Fersker. Public Safety, Police Protection for the Borough Subcommittee, Chairperson Drew Baum, Member John Ryan, Jack Higgins, Rich Wood Jr., and Philip Locke. Borough Property, Parks, Open Space Committee, Chairperson Steve Kokoza, members Drew Baum, Laura Lim. Highways Transportation Committee, Chairperson Dave Fersker, member Larry Ward. And finally, Public Utilities, Trash Recycle, Chairperson Laura Lim, members Natalie Anderson, Gina Marie Ellis. As a note, I will insert the appointed Fred Wood as the mayor into these committees after tonight's meeting. Okay, moving forward, we have correspondence.
I will start with, thank you, Mr. President. I'll start with snail mail, and then I'll go into email and social media. The Transportation and Community Development Initiative sent us their program guide, so that will go to the newly named Roads Committee. The Pennsylvania voter registration application, the laws of Pennsylvania have changed for voter registration, and I have posted that on some of our media, and I can certainly do that again. There is more time to register to vote prior, or less, more time to register to vote prior to any election, and I think Pennsylvania can now vote by mail, but all that information is in here, and I will share that as well. The Bureau of Recreation and Conservation sent us more grant application information, which will go to that committee. And then there's another one about more grants and Young Lungs at Play program description, which might be something we want to consider for our parks. So again, to that committee. There is a awards program for the William Bates of Delaware County, accepting nominations for exceptional development practices in Delaware County. So if anybody on that committee would like to apply. And then something from our member of Congress, Mary Gay Scanlon. She's hosting breakfast for her constituents on Friday, February 14th from 9 to 11 at the Knights of Columbus in Newtown Square. And that's an official invitation for us. And that's snail mail. We received a number of emails regarding the council vacancy that was filled by Natalie. We received a number of emails expressing condolences for the passing of Mayor Smith. I think all of us whom they had the email for, we got an invite for the Summit Arbor Square grand opening on the 12th from 4 to 6 for those of us sitting here. There was also an invitation not to be shared on social media by anyone, because they don't want to inundate them, but the owners of Ashley's have shared with me when I visited them over the weekend, they would like to do a open house for Chester Heights residents only from 12 to 8 p.m. on Sunday. And share with your neighbors and share with your HOAs, but please do not put it on any public social media pages. The first time I shared something about Ashley's, it hit 11,000 people, and I visited them over the weekend, and to get updated pictures and to get their total schedule so we could support them in their grand opening, and already 1,700 people have seen that. So certainly they want everyone to have a good experience. They don't want the staff to be completely overloaded. So share with your HOAs, share with your private groups, but please do not put it on a general social media page, because then everybody will have a terrible experience because they'll be overwhelmed. But Chester Heights residents, specifically on Sunday at Ashley's from 12 to 8, they will have their lunch and dinner menus available. And then I sent an email out to our email distribution list about the new voting machines that are coming this year for all of Delaware County. County Council back in October approved new voting machines that have a paper trail to them, and everybody is going to be using them. And anybody who votes in Delaware County will need to learn how to use this new machine. It is open for practice, if you will, from 12 to 2 every day this week in the county council building, some in media, and then we'll get with everybody, the Bureau of Elections and with the Judge of Elections and with our people who work the polls that day to figure out if we can get with another municipality and maybe have another more convenient time to practice with the new machines that will be all over Delaware County. So as another heads up to prepare for how voting will look like. It might be a little more complicated this year. And that's it. That's all the correspondence.
Great, Gina. Thank you. Okay, moving forward, next up on the agenda, we have inspector's report. First up, Mike Sioko, fire marshal.
There were four incidents last month, fire-related. Mr. President, you asked me to address the... there was an inquiry about hunting in Chester Heights. And in Chester Heights Borough, there is hunting allowed. Hunting is governed by the state of Pennsylvania, the Game Commission. They allow hunting within 150 yards of an occupied building using firearms. If you use a bow or crossbow, it's 50 yards. In years past, people that if you didn't want them on your property, you were going to post no trespassing, no hunting signs. Pennsylvania passed the purple paint law, and the purple paint law is where they actually have a Rust-Oleum puts out a paint called hunting purple paint, and you take this can of spray paint, and you'll actually go to your property line, and on the far side of the tree where you're entering your property line, you'll, at like about 5 foot off the ground, you'll put a maybe an 8-inch stripe of this purple paint, and that tells the hunters that there's no trespassing, no hunting beyond this point. It's something that they put in because the signs, in years past, they were only good for a year. You had to sign them, you had to date them, you had to put them up all the time. But just because you you see a hunter in your backyard, he really shouldn't be in your backyard. Where you live, Dave, that there's a big buffer down there of open space because that's where the sewer line goes back in there. Mm-hmm. And then comes the Miller property. And the Miller property has some of the biggest deer I've ever seen in Chester Heights on the Miller property. They're huge. So I think he feeds them, but...
Yeah. And what was the clarification with 150 yards from the property line or from the house?
It's 50 yards from a dwelling. So okay. In other words, but if you have it marked, then they, you know, unless they don't know about the purple paint laws, it's new. And the other thing is, I spoke to the Game Commission this week. There's one thing that they did do is they stopped the wholesale slaughter of the deer with sharpshooters. You're not allowed to bring them in anymore and have them cull the herd, as they like to say. Or if you if a farmer declared crop damage, you could kill deer not in season. So they have stopped that. Deer are wards of the state. You can't, if you find a deer, a little fawn in the woods, you say, oh, I'll raise this. You would be in violation of the game. They would arrest you because they're wards of the state. They come under the protection of the state.
Okay. I think the concern from that resident specifically was more the fact that the family has young children, and it was alarming to see a person with a shotgun that close to the fence line. So definitely thank you for that updated information.
There's a big buffer there back in there, that cul-de-sac. Mm-hmm. Because back there was the leaching field from the old septic, the community septic system.
Okay.
So, I mean, that goes back 100 yards. So he shouldn't have seen them. I mean, if he were in there, they were on the Chester
Heights. Yeah, I think that's what the concern was. But I think the purple paint law addresses that pretty clearly for him.
So, pretty clearly, if he, you know, it's up to him if he wants to mark his property.
Yep.
But I know Rust-Oleum makes the one. It's actually called Hunting Purple Paint. Everybody knows a little something tonight.
Great. Thank you. Mike, thank you. Anything further?
No, that was
great. Thank you. Okay, up next on the agenda, we have Roadmaster Larry, please.
Basic PA1 routine calls. A couple of them I had to actually go out and do a physical inspection to talk with the contractor and PICO. Other than that, still working on updating the emergency management plan for the borough. I know that someone at Glen Mills is looking for the final updated plan. When I have it finally updated, I'll bring it before borough council for approval. Other than that, nothing else.
Great. Thank you, Larry.
Next month, unfortunately, it's scheduled for next month's borough council meeting. There's a Garden Valley School District is hosting a Stop the Bleeding program. I will be attending it for Train the Trainer, where they will be Train the Trainer on Stop the Bleeding, where they're doing it throughout. I mean, you know, God forbid we need it in case of a a shooting or some catastrophic emergency where you need to use tourniquets or massive blood loss. So that'll be going on from 7 to 9 next borough council, regular borough council meeting. So I'll be attending that and won't be able to make this meeting. So.
All right. Larry, thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay, up next on the agenda is solicitor's report. Jerry?
Thank you, Mr. President. Matt's not here tonight. He's asked me to take up some of his issues, so I'll try to get through this quickly. I'm asking council to ratify and adopt the escrow release for Lenape Valley. Matt was he discussed this at the work session meeting, and he's recommending the borough council approve escrow release number two in the amount of $92,308.75. That will leave, as I understand, an escrow amount remaining of $210,169.11. So I'd ask council at this time to approve the escrow release number two per the borough engineer's recommendation.
Sure. Okay, I'm calling for a motion for approval of escrow release number two for Lenape Valley in the amount of $92,308.75.
I'll make that.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Floor is open for discussion. With no discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Mr. President, ask the council to consider the adoption of resolution number 2020-2-20B. Each year, as you may recall, the borough does adopt this resolution on behalf of the engineers for the borough. It's the week of February 16th through the 22nd will be observed as National Engineers Week with the theme Pioneers of Progress. Council acknowledges the timely and exceptional professional engineering services provided by the borough engineer Matt Hootman and owner of borough engineer Mike Sioko, Delaware County Chapter of Pennsylvania Society of Professional Engineers, will honor Carol Martsoff as Engineer of the Year, Michael Sr., EIT as Young Engineer of the Year, and the Villanova University Pedestrian Bridge Project with the Outstanding Project Achievement Award. I'd ask at this time Council adopt this resolution for National Engineers Week.
Okay, do I have a motion to approve resolution number 2020-20-B? Is that correct?
220B.
20B, recognizing Engineers Week.
I'll make the motion.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Floor is open for discussion. With no discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? The motion is approved.
Mr. President, as you will recall, or council will recall, that the borough has entered into an agreement of sale for the Strine property. Part of that diligence was that the PNDI search was performed by the borough engineer, which indicated that there could be a turtle on the premises. In order to deal with that issue, there needs to be a habitat study and assessment performed at that location. The borough engineer did discuss this with council at the work session meeting. The fee to employ the services of GHD, which is the name of the company, is for $2,000. Due to that assessment, I was able to obtain an extension of time by which the agreement of sale would be through to the end of March 2020. So at this time, I would ask that council consider the ratification of the authorization to enter into the habitat study and approve the contract for professional services of GHD in the borough. I did review the contract, the basic contract. It has indemnity terms with regard to the borough, and I would ask that council approve the contract so that the borough can move forward with this assessment because time is of the essence.
Sure. Okay, do I have a motion to ratify the authorization to hire Scott Bush from GHD in order to conduct a habitat study on the Strine property for the amount of $2,000.
I'll make the motion.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Floor is open for discussion.
Mr. President, may I ask a question?
Sure.
So, since we're going to be hiring them to make an assessment if there's actually the coodle turtle on the property, if he comes back and says that there is that going to change our effort to purchase the property?
Well, I think this inspection study is to see if there's habitat consistent for that species. If it comes back positive, then I think we have taken another step.
I would imagine, Mr. President, that discussion would take place in an executive session because it matters of real estate.
Sure.
Certainly, I've reached out to the property owner. I advised him that the borough was going forward with the habitat study and was able to gain that particular extension of time. But that would be a discussion I think council would have to discuss with regard to the pending sale in an executive
yes.
session.
Correct.
So that's the next step.
That would be the next step.
All right, thank you.
Okay, great.
Is there any idea of what, let's say they do recognize potential habitat, have they given an idea of what the cost would be to then take the next step? Because I know it says if potentially suitable habitat for the red-bellied cooter is identified, GHD can provide you with an additional scope of work and cost estimate.
Well, I in my discussions with Mr. Hootman, I'm not sure yet what that cost would be or what the details of that assessment would be going forward. Certainly, again, that would be a discussion I think that council is going to have in an executive session because that would go to the terms of the agreement of sale, which are pending before the council and the property owner.
Okay, any further?
And I'm sorry. And,
sure.
And also, it's based on part of what you're going to do with that particular piece of property
right.
once the borough makes a decision to go ahead with the sale. So if the borough was going to put buildings on that property, that certainly would be an issue for the borough as opposed to just having vacant land with something. I mean, if you're not disturbing the property, then there may not be a reason to have that third assessment done based upon the results of this assessment.
Understood.
Okay, any further questions or comments? Okay, with that in mind, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? The motion is approved.
Mr. President, I would ask that council ratify the adoption of Resolution 120A. This is a resolution to fill the vacancy of the council, and it's a resolution by the Council of Borough of Chester Heights, Delaware County, that Natalie M. Anderson was appointed to fill the vacancy. I would ask at this time that council ratify that the adoption of that resolution.
Sure. Do I have a motion to ratify Resolution 120-A, which fills the vacant council seat by Natalie M. Anderson?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Floor is open for discussion. With no discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed?
Nay.
Let the record show there was five yeses and one no. The motion is approved.
Mr. President, I would ask that council consider the ratification of the appointment of Christopher Long Esquire as the zoning solicitor, which took place at Monday's work session.
Sure. Do I have a motion to ratify the appointment of Christopher Long as zoning solicitor?
So moved.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Floor is open for discussion. With no discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed?
Mr. President, I would ask that council ratify the proposal for the post office recycling project. You may recall that T. Law presented council with information that there be a recycling solution through a project for the Chester Heights Post Office. I believe council was... council approved an estimate of $25 a month for monthly weekly pickup at that location. I would ask council to consider the adoption and ratification of that proposal.
Sure. Do I have a motion to ratify the proposal for the post office recycling project, which is estimated to cost $25 per month?
I'll make the motion.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Floor is open for discussion. With no discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? The motion is approved.
Mr. President, I would ask that council approve the ratification of the annual traffic signal maintenance contract, which is currently at $600 million, would be for a term running from January 1st, 2020 to December 31st, 2020, a one-year contract. The price remains the same as last year.
Sure. Do I have a motion to ratify the annual traffic signal maintenance contract in the amount of $680 per year?
So moved.
Is there a second?
I'll
I'll second.
The floor is open for discussion.
Did anyone on council have a bad experience with this company last year or anything that we should be concerned about?
No, not that I know of.
Is there even another vendor available?
Oh, that's a good question.
There is one other vendor, but they're very cost prohibitive.
Okay.
We tried to get a proposal from was it Signal Services Westchester, and when there's a storm, it was Higgins is 3 minutes away.
Yeah.
Prior responsive.
Okay, any further comments or questions? Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed? Motion is approved.
I have no further items, Mr. President.
Great, thank you, Jerry. Okay, moving forward, we have committee reports, which I don't think we have. Is there anyone that wants to comment or has something?
Do we have the folks from the school district here?
And we sure can.
Yeah. Greg Chestnut, first of all, with my first hat as the borough's appointee to the Regional Coal Library Board. I'd like to introduce tonight Susan Sternberg, who's the library director. She's going to speak briefly about library funding and questions that have come up about the funding in social media. Susan also happens to be a resident of Chester Heights at Robins Woods. Susan.
Hi, it's good to see everybody again and to meet the new members of council. I understand that there were some questions about information that was on the Garnet Valley PA message board. Sorry, thank you. I think it was around Thanksgiving time, because I was out of the country at that time when everything blew up, so I came home to that. This was information that had come out of the Concord Supervisors meeting, or misinformation that came out of the Concord Supervisors meeting that had been discussed on Facebook. In response to that, we created a set of FAQs on library finance and governance, which is on our website. I have copied it. It looks a little weird because it came directly off of our website. But I think this document, you'll find it, if you could just pass it, on the website. I think it spoke to most of the questions that came up at that meeting. I can go over it briefly with you if you would like. I think the worst part of the information, the misinformation that came out of that meeting was that we are the Concord Township Library. We have never been the Concord Township Library, and we never will be the Concord Township Library. We are the Rachel Cole Community Library, and we serve the residents of specifically Chester Heights, Bethel, Thornbury, Concord,
Chatsford.
I think I started in the wrong order, that's why I forgot. Because we accept state money and county money, as well as monies from our five townships, our doors are open to any resident of the state. There is no way that we would want to stop any resident of the state from using our library, nor could we legally. We are an open, free public library. If you are a resident of the state, you may use our library. That piece of information or misinformation that came out of that meeting was the one I think that bothered me the most. That if anybody would think that we will stop anyone from using our library for any reason based on residency is just a complete falsehood. That information, and again it comes in here, probably started because at some point we did share the building with Concord Township, and the building is located in Concord Township. The library owns the building that we're in. It is true that Concord Township holds our mortgage, which we just renegotiated last year, thank God. But other than that, Concord has the same influence on what happens in the library as the other four townships. Does anybody have any questions about that?
Sure. The question I have,
Was there a specific Concord Township supervisor that made these comments?
Yes.
Could you tell us who that was?
It was Don Belleggi.
Okay.
And I think the specific comment that he said was something to the effect of Concord may want to turn around and buy the library, or something to that effect, or turn it into the Concord Township, turn it exclusively into the Concord Township Library.
Okay.
And that set off a whole series of discussions on Facebook.
Well, I think where it actually started from is people were criticizing Concord Township for not giving the library enough money to function.
Yes.
Okay.
Supervisor Pelleggi's response to that was basically to say, we give tremendously more amounts of money than anybody of our other four townships do. Which is true. We get $180,000 a year from Concord Township, as opposed to the $8,000 we get from Chester Heights. I mean, $8,000 from Chad's Ford, $12,000 from Chester Heights, which is only $4,000 more than $8,000. There, my math is good. Thornbury, we get $41,000 a year, and Bethel, we get $35,000 a year. So, in fact, $150,000 versus whatever, they do give us more money, but that's not the point. But I think that's where his pushback on the criticism comes from.
Right. And I appreciate you clarifying that and being here tonight, because one of the things that I mentioned to Mr. Chestnut about this was that on social media, it was going on threads, and it was people that had attended the council meetings that there were conversations that they were going to remove Chester Heights Borough residents from Rachel Cole Library being able to use it. Like, that was one of the threads.
I just asked
him if he could get some truth to that and just shut that down, you know. And I just couldn't speak to that, so that's why I asked him if he could talk to that.
There's no truth to that. I mean, if we were going to shut anybody down, it would be Chad's Ford. But we...
but no one's going to shut down.
But we can't.
Strike that for the record.
Right. Yeah, really.
No, that's on the
record. Don't tell Marianne.
Right. We cannot, nor would we, shut anybody down.
Well, thank you for your time. I appreciate that.
Does anybody else have any questions? It's a little bit illegible because I...
How is the allocation of funding by the borough determined?
It's determined by the borough. And one of the things in that piece of paper that you'll see is that Pennsylvania has no statewide minimum recommendation or definitive amount of money that a municipality has to give to a library. So any municipality can fund their library any way they want, which is why libraries are so desperate in this state and are always coming and begging and always groveling, and I do a good grovel if anybody wants to see it, and why we're always doing fundraisers. In our particular case, municipalities only give us a total of about 64% of our annual budget. So every year, in order to maintain the level of services that we have to raise 41% of the money to keep us open. In our five municipalities, there's actually three different ways that we are funded. Some is by millage. I'm sorry, two different ways. Some do it by a millage, and some just... get a figure, and that's what we get. So it's up to each borough how much you want to give us on an annual basis.
Well, this is saying that our percentage of total registered users is 6%, but we're only paying 3%.
Thank you for that.
Yeah. Can I add something? So back in 2017, I believe Greg and were you there came in front of us, and we actually raised the amount that we gave to the library at that time.
Yes, it used to be $8,000 per year.
Right, so what we did at the time is, I think we were presented with an average of payout per resident, average of payout per resident, and we raised it to that average amount, which I believe was like, what, $5.30 per resident,
yes,
based on the last census.
Right.
So, just in case you want some history on how
sure.
Ours works.
I would like to draw your attention, however, to the chart on page... three, which is barely legible, but it's compares the amount of that different municipalities get throughout throughout Delaware County, and you will see that four of our municipalities are in the bottom five throughout the entire county. One of the wealthiest areas in this county with the worst library support.
The other thing that's different about our library is that it is an independent 501c3. It's a nonprofit organization, whereas many of the libraries that you see in the other townships are municipal libraries. Their employees are municipal employees. They get direct tax money from Springfield Township or Ridley Township or whichever one it is. I don't know the code, but I believe every municipality is required to have library services in some shape or form. So you either build your own library or you do like you're doing, which you contribute to a 501c3 that provides library services.
It's a really weird thing because the state mandates that every municipality have access to a library, but they don't mandate how much that municipality has to give to the library. And just in overall, Pennsylvania ranks number 46 in the country, 46 from the bottom, meaning there are only four states lower than the state of Pennsylvania in its public support for libraries. So, and that's because there is no state mandate. It's not a statistic we should be proud of.
No, it doesn't sound like it.
Anything else? I appreciate your time and your attention. Speaking of always being in desperate financial straits and having to raise money, we're having a fundraising dinner at Il Granaio, $100 per ticket, four-course meal, including wine, on March 25th. You're all invited, not as my guest. But I will hand these around. And I hope to see some of you there.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Great, thank you.
So with my second hat on, as one of your elected representatives to the school district, a couple updates.
Just a quick mention, some of you may have heard we're doing a sleep study, basically sleep means of adolescents. There is some research that says that adolescents benefit from so we have a leading expert, Dr. Indira. I won't even try to pronounce her last name, but I have a copy of it here if you want to see it. She'll present research on the sleep needs of adolescents, and it's open to the school community. It'll be this Thursday from 7 to 8:30 in the Garnet Valley High School Auditorium. This research-based presentation is the first sleep the district First step the district is taking as we examine our secondary start times. We have about looking at adjusting our school start times, and we're currently in the exploratory process. There's no decisions that have been made. We have a committee of over 30 students, parents, teachers, administrators, and board members, and we'll start to study the multitude of areas. We don't expect anything that will happen as of the next school year. They'll probably make some recommendation. I think they'll conclude their studies around the end of April. So maybe at that point in May, they'll have a recommendation. So if you're interested in hearing this, please come Thursday night.
And also, last month, there was some discussion in the PAL presentation about what the school district's data or opinions would be about the impact on school population of a development like that. The district did conduct a demographic study that looked at those kind of things 3 years ago, and last week it ratified a reissuance of that study to occur over the next 3 or 4 weeks. So we should have the results of that study probably in the next 4 to 6 weeks. I did ask that they specifically look at the Powell property and compare that to the results of what has happened with Brookfield, because I think the district is concluding, and the reason they want to redo the study is they're concluding that developments like Brookfield have higher student population than both the national average and our own local experience. Those kind of developments are attracting more students than anybody has ever expected, and in particular, the district is becoming a target for special education students because we provide very good services. We're getting a lot of special ed students move into the district into developments like that. A typical regular population student would cost about $19,000 a year. A special education student, on average, costs twice that. And there are individual special education students that can cost $200,000, $300,000 a year to the district, and we have to serve those students. And so special education is about 23% of the Garnet Valley population. Wow.
What was the percentage? I'm sorry.
20 to 23%.
Yeah. What's the national average? Do you know for special education? I feel like 23%
is
high.
Yeah, it is.
But
high.
I don't.
We are high. Yeah. We are a destination district for special education students.
Congratulations for doing such a great job for those students.
I wish I could take credit.
Thank you.
That's all we have. Thank you.
Great, thank you. Okay, moving forward, anybody else have anything as far as committee reports, which I don't think?
Mr. President, I just have one very brief item.
Sure.
I wanted to advise council that the annual audit performed by Lightsail and Economides began today. We expect it'll probably last throughout the week, and they will have their findings to us by April 1st. I have nothing further.
Thank you.
I have something quick.
Sure.
Something quick. Thank you, Mr. President. The Easter egg hunt is tentatively scheduled rain or shine event for April 5th. It is a Sunday. Bethel and Concord are both having theirs on the 4th. And for those of our residents who prefer Bethel or go to Bethel and Concord, we certainly didn't want them to have to choose. So we'll do the next day. We did it on Palm Sunday last year, and it worked out well. Palm Sunday, of course, also means it needs to be a rain or shine event. Otherwise, we're doing it during Easter, the Holy Week. So that is the tentative schedule for that. Mayor Smith's husband has all of the files. I do have to go to his house and get all of the files because she has the Easter egg hunt file there. And newsletter submissions are due the 15th to me. I need to get them into the newsletter by the 19th, but I'd like to give everybody a little cushion room. Probably shouldn't have told you that part. So Fred and Natalie and Laura and David and Susan, if you could send me written in the first person your biography and what you would like to share with the residents now that you are all sitting here or sitting here again, and anybody else who has ideas for what articles to include. I am going to include something about Ms. Law and the recycling program that she is beginning, and anything else that anybody would like to submit, please share with me, and if anybody wants to write something, also please let me know. Thank you.
What's the date you need to step by?
The 15th.
There was one other item. I don't know if this is a old business or a committee report, but we discussed the potential or incident of child luring.
Sure.
And I don't know if there was any resolution to that, if the culprit was ever apprehended, or if there are any more instances. Does anybody know?
Is this the one that was in
Thornberry?
As far as I know, and we would have heard something from the superintendent. There's been no follow-up.
So no apprehension, and nothing else has happened.
Okay, moving forward, old business. Do we have any old business tonight?
Mr. President, I just wanted to follow up. I believe it was Councilwoman Clark who asked last meeting about the course that we have to take, the NIMS course.
Sure.
I went ahead and I registered online, and I went on there, and the link was didn't work. So I emailed them, and Larry Bake, B-A-K.
Okay.
He actually is our point of contact, and he says that we cannot take the online course, that as council members we have to do it in residence there, and that he has not established when they're going to do it, but it should be up 3 hours one evening, and he'll send it to the borough and let us know when they're going to have it.
Okay, great.
So there's no reason for anybody to worry, and it's the G402 course for council folks.
Okay. Thank you.
That's now, I don't have to take it, right?
Thank you.
I just want to hear you say that again.
Okay. Any other old business tonight? Do we have any new business? Okay. With no new business, we have an additional period for public to address council. We ask that you state your name and address for the record. Anyone in the first row?
Yes. Thank you. My name is Iona Tocola, and I live at the Hollows. And one half of us is Concord, and the other half is Chester Heights. I'm in Chester Heights. However, I have something I'm very concerned about. In the woods, and we can't seem to figure out if the property belongs to the apartments,
yeah,
or if it belongs to Verizon. No one seems to know. But there's mattresses back there.
Okay.
Now, kids go back there. I've gone back there and cleaned up bottles.
Sure.
And you know they're old. And I went back there a couple weeks again just to, you know, just to look around. And there was new bottles back there, so you know kids have been back there.
Sure.
Now, we've had fires back there before. Two summers ago, the kids didn't mean to do it. They happened to be smoking. They threw a cigarette down. They didn't put it out. They come out of the woods, and my neighbor and I happened to be there, and there's flames coming out. So the cop put it out. The cop came and put out the fire. My biggest concern is fire. We all know that kids go back there. There's about 3 king-size mattresses back there, tires, bedroom sets, a half of a fax machine. I mean, it's just really disgusting. My biggest fear is, and I probably wouldn't be here, the mattresses scare me the most.
Sure.
I think it's an accident waiting to happen. No matter who owns that piece of property back there, they can afford to have it cleaned up.
Sure.
It's for Verizon. They're not hurting for money. And I'm sure these apartments, the Madison, is that what they're... I'm sure they have the money, too.
Yeah.
I have been on this since November.
Okay.
I can't understand why letters weren't sent out to someone.
Yeah.
And be told you have to clean it up. It's your property. It has to be cleaned up. And like I said, my biggest fear is fire. And the kids are always back there. So I feel that I told you about it.
Sure.
So I would really appreciate it if, instead of me hounding these poor people that work here, I would like it taken care of tonight. I would like you to know who owns that. I've heard many stories. And another problem is Ashley's just opened up. People pull their cars back there and dump stuff out.
Okay.
Can't make it out too well because I can't see that far, but I could see the headlights, and I can see cars pulling up backwards, and I know what they're doing. They're dumping.
Sure.
There should be, and again, I'm sure Ashley's can afford it, there should be a very high fence across that whole back there to try to stop it anyway.
I think they're putting cameras in.
Good. You know, if they could, but you know, how do you get a license plate off So I really think, in my opinion, if you want to stop it, get a fence up there. You have to be put wire on the top of it.
Sure.
Thank you for listening to me.
Sure. I'm going to ask Sue to maybe take down your contact info.
I've given it to her.
Okay. Sue, have we asked Rich Jensen to look into this?
Yes, Rich Jensen has looked into it.
Okay.
And he discussed it with the general contractor at Ashley's.
Okay.
And they had a dumpster there, and they said they were cleaning up some of the trash.
They're not cleaning up where it is.
Okay.
That was about a week and a half ago.
Sure.
It was weeks ago.
It's actually, Ashley's is here.
Okay.
Then there's a drop, a drastic drop, and everything's down at the bottom there.
Would that be Madison's property?
I heard it was Madison's, and then I heard it was Verizon. Whoever owns that place can afford to clean it up.
Well, Verizon has a right-of-way, I think, on their property. So
but they don't own it.
Yeah, they don't own it.
Well,
so
they have the towers.
They
do. They not?
They just pay for it. They don't own the property.
Okay. Well, somebody has to own that property.
When one of the calls came in.
To find out who owns the property. He will go there and look at it and figure out who the owner is.
But
and
I want to
send them a letter.
Sure.
I want to make it very clear. It's not... Ashley's is a flat piece of ground. Mm-hmm. It's not up there. It's where it drops and goes down.
Okay.
I've told you. So,
so there's a good chance that might be Madison.
There's a possibility it's on both properties, too.
Whoever's it is, they can afford to have that cleaned up.
We just need to be a little patient with us figuring out who's
property it is. Well, I've been complaining about this since November.
Okay.
And I'm afraid, you know, time's going by so fast.
Yeah.
It's going to be the spring, and the kids are going to be back there.
Okay. So that sounds like it's probably Madison's property more so than Ashley's or McClassie's.
And it's far worse than I thought it was. A couple of weeks ago, I went all the way back, which I never did before.
Sure.
And it's real. I just can't wait.
Well, it's an eyesore.
Well, I can't believe how much trash there is on Mortimer Pike. From 202 down past Springfield.
It's an eyesore, and it's also a safety issue.
It's more of a safety issue because nobody can see it.
Okay.
Thank you.
I will check with Rich and make sure we get to the bottom of that for you. Okay, anybody in the second row? Third row.
I just want to say something. The cooter turtle is not an endangered species.
Okay.
I just want to throw that out there. So we're going to, and they don't cook well either.
They don't. For some reason, it's on
belly.
That list.
Yeah, so every so often the list gets updated.
Sure.
And when Matt did, I guess, the PMDI search, this particular species ended up on that list. As I understand it, it could be within a 5-mile radius of that particular property. So it may not be there, could be within 5 miles, but at some point in that 5-mile radius, this species showed up, and that's why it's on the database. So.
Okay, just saying that it's not in the state of Pennsylvania, the cooter table turtle is not an endangered species.
Because it doesn't exist.
Okay. Okay, thank you, Mike. Okay, do I have a motion to adjourn tonight's meeting?
So moved.
Is there a second?
A second.
Floor is open for discussion. With no discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? The motion is approved.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Keep coming back.
Yeah, keep coming.